Buying or selling your home? Real Estate for Life can connect you with a pro-life real estate agent. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 65% to Catholic Answers. Learn more at realestateforlife.org. Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. Thanks for being here with us on this Wednesday afternoon. Joe Heschmeyer away, but boy, do we have a great show for you. We're going to do Ask Me Anything for non-Catholics. If you're not a Catholic, this is an Ask Me Anything for you. You can call and ask whatever you'd like about the Catholic faith, whether it's a challenging question or a curious question, whatever it is. It's for non-Catholics. Second hour, William Albrecht will be here with us and help us with it. And first hour, Steve Ray, himself, a convert to the Catholic faith and a long time now convert to the Catholic faith, but one who has helped many people make the journey that we call crossing the Tiber, that is crossing that river towards the Catholic Church. If you'd like to get on the line and ask your question, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Steve Ray, I'll just ask you for a quick second to hang on, because I do have something else that I wanted to share here at the beginning of the show. And this will just take a minute. We're going to ask you to help us pray, if you would. A member of the Catholic Answers family having a tough day today. You all know Trent Horn, and many of you know Laura Horn from her YouTube channel or from various other things she's done. She's quite an extraordinary person, very, very positive, very faithful person, mother of three, and she carries a heavy cross. She's the wife of Trent Horn, and she's sick, so we wanted to ask you for your prayers for her. I don't know if it's done, but she's going in today for a surgery on the brain because she has an early stage cancer of the brain. And so we're all praying for her. And it turns out, I did not know this, but it turns out that the Horns, Trent and Laura, have a connection to the Venerable Aloysius Schwartz. And if you don't know about the American priest Aloysius Schwartz, who died in 1991, he basically spent his entire life as a missionary founding orphanages to help orphans in the Philippines and then South Korea. I may have the order wrong there, in Mexico, and thousands upon thousands of homeless children were taken care of in these orphanages. And now Pope Francis made him venerable. And so the Horns have asked us for prayers, and we want to ask you to help us pray. So I will now pray a prayer for Laura Horn, asking the intercession of the Venerable Aloysius Schwartz, and I'd ask you to pray with us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, author of life and divine physician, we thank you for the gift of your daughter, Laura. We thank you for her deep joy, humor, and contagious laughter. We thank you for her open heart and vulnerable spirit. Most of all, we thank you for the gift of her deep and abiding faith and untiring will, even in the midst of trials. As members of your body, we implore you to pour abundant grace upon Laura, her entire family, and all her caregivers during this difficult time. Through the intercession of the Venerable Aloysius Schwartz, we ask for the miraculous and complete healing and lifelong remission for Laura. May the faith and Christian example of Venerable Aloysius Schwartz be spread throughout the earth, and may all glory be given to you, our eternal King and our Lord, and the Lord of our lives. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Trent gave us a presentation. We have Monday morning presentations here, where I think they're called conferences, you know, where we share the faith. And Trent gave it on Monday. Was that Monday this week or last week? That was Monday this week. Holy smokes, time flies. And it was just beautiful, very short and very beautiful and full of faith. And one of the things Trent reminded us all of is, you get these trials in life, and you think before you get them, oh, I'm going to handle it with perfect faith, and I'm going to be a true Christian. And he said, then you fumble it. You get anxious, you get upset, you get angry, and all those things happen. It becomes a mess. And he said, let's not forget that the mess is part of the life that the Lord wants to share with us. He wants to be with us in all of that. It was actually quite a beautiful reflection, and Trent seemed pretty strong to me. And Laura, at least from what I saw on the internet, seems quite strong. So thank you for your prayers for Laura and Trent Horn and for their family. The number here is 888-318-7884. I'll tell you what, that might be one. You know, that's a very Catholic thing we just did. We asked the intercession of someone who lived a saintly life to pray for Laura and to help us to pray for Laura. Maybe that's one you want to ask about. It's an Ask Me Anything for non-Catholics today. 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. And thanks for waiting, Steve Ray. I do appreciate you letting us take the time to pray for Laura Horn. No? No, Steve? Ah, we got a volume problem. That's all right. We're going to get Steve Ray. You cannot keep Steve Ray down. It cannot be done. So he will get out his machete and cut his way through whatever technical problems we are having, and we will let him do that. 888-318-7884 is the number, 888-318-7884. It's not only a Catholic thing, by the way. I said that's a very Catholic thing, but it's not only a Catholic thing. Certainly, lots and lots of Christians ask the intercession of those righteous souls in heaven, whose names we know, to pray for us and to help us. It might be family members. It might be someone who we have known personally or know of from our parish or whatnot, or it might be someone famous like Al Schwartz or someone else who has lived a saintly life. Some of them are canonized saints. And I know this is controversial to some. They see it as somehow interfering with Christ's role as our sole mediator, but we don't see it that way. We see Christ, I'll give you a kind of example of it. He sends others to do his work, and we think he still does that. He's still sending people, and those who have died in his friendship are close to him now, and the prayers of the righteous are heard by the living God. So if he sent them out two by two to go share a message he was perfectly capable of sharing himself, then he also sends us to care for one another. And there's no reason, at least from the Catholic understanding, to think that that comes to an end with death. Death, where we pass from this life into the next, for these saints only brings that, and by saints I mean with a small s, these saints, those who died in friendship with Christ, death just brings them closer to him and makes them more effective, not less, in their intercessions. So you can find out about Aloysius Schwartz. Just look on. I know a lot of people are like, I don't know, I've never heard of Aloysius Schwartz before. Maybe this is the first time. And so that's a good opportunity too, taking this opportunity, the occasion of praying to him as a chance to learn about him. He is quite an extraordinary guy. And I don't know the connection with the Horn family. I do not know. Trent said they have, in his presentation to us, he said they have some kind of, you know, fascinating overlap in their life with Aloysius Schwartz. But I say Aloysius Schwartz, of course, that's, you know, his friends call him Al. So Al Schwartz, I don't know what they are, but it's beautiful when we have those overlaps with our family here and our family in heaven. And when the Pope says you are venerable, then that certainly commends you to your fellow Catholics as one who might be ready and willing to pray for, well, for example, in this case, healing. Again, 888-318-7884, the number. I'm going to get ready to take a break, but while they straighten out the technical problems. But there's one line open. There's one line open. So if you are not a Catholic and you've got a question for Steve Ray, 888-318-7884.
Hang on. Catholic Answers Live will return in a moment.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
In Friends of the Bridegroom, Mark Cardinal Ouellette, Prefect of the Congregation for Bishops, offers a deeper understanding of the Church's teachings on priestly vocation, celibacy, evangelization, and more. Friends of the Bridegroom for a Renewed Vision of Priestly Celibacy by Mark Cardinal Ouellette, the latest release from EWTN Publishing, now available at EWTNRC.com or call 1-800-854-6316.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. Get thee behind us, devil, trying to keep Steve Ray off this show. You can't do it. Steve Ray's coming one way or another. Hey, Steve Ray, thanks for being here with us.
I think you can hear me now, can you?
Yeah, we can hear you very, very well.
I have no idea what's happening. Can you see me on the video or do you hear me?
I don't know if they see you on the show, but yeah, I see you. Everybody, I think it's going out. Yeah, we've got you. You're here loud and clear now, Steve.
All right. Sounds good. I have no idea what happened there.
We don't have any idea either, but you would be shocked at the amount of time we spend saying, I don't know what happened. So that's one of our expertises around here. We got a bunch of people on the line ready to talk to you. Unless you've got something else you'd like to talk about, I think we'll go right to calls. Is that all right?
Well, let's see what we can do. I'm going to let you answer the hard ones. I'll answer the easy ones.
Oh, yeah. Okay, sure. Let's see how that goes. Frankie in Detroit, Michigan, listening on the Catholic Answers app. Welcome, Frankie. You got a question for Steve Ray?
Yeah, it's kind of a two-parter. First, I wanted to know if I'm really Catholic, and then the other one was like whether I'm responsible for my dad's Catholicism because he has dementia and is physically disabled, and it's kind of an odd situation. So, and let me just provide a little brief context. So I was baptized as a baby, you know, went for 11 years of my life. Then my mom converted to Pentecostalism, and then she made me go for like 5 years until I kind of rebelled and just said, you know, I don't want to anymore. And so then I went back to the Catholic Church for 2 years, and then I was never catechized or talked to like the priest or anything like that. So my dad wanted to confirm me, you know, have me confirmed, which I didn't get what the point was. And so I don't know, maybe he was doing it for protection because he knew I was about to venture into the world without church at all, you know? And so I did reluctantly. So I wasn't sure if like just those two things from the church, like, would that still make me Catholic? I mean, I haven't gone back to church.
Frankie, I'm from outside of Detroit too. So nice talking to you from the state of Michigan. Being baptized as an infant, that brings you into relationship with the church, and being confirmed, usually you need to know what you're doing and agree to that. And you said at 18 you did, and not catechized. So you need to be catechized. Let me just say that. You need to know what this whole thing is all about. But I would think that all you need to do is, at this point, if you want to come back into the full life of the church, is go to confession and meet with a priest and go to confession and get that your soul cleansed that way, and you're baptized, you are confirmed, go to confession, and you'll be ready to come back into the church. That's my understanding of it. But I would, at the same time, become catechized, because that's important that you understand what the Eucharist is and what it means to be a Catholic and what it means, all of the wonderful gifts and prayers and sacraments that we have. So that would be my suggestion. Go to confession, even to call a priest. Probably this would be the best idea. Call the priest in your area, set up an appointment, go in and tell him what you just told me, and tell him you'd like to have him hear your confession so you can come back into the full life of the church.
What do you think of that, Frankie? We're going to get to your second question, but what do you think of that?
Oh, Yeah, no, that's because I do want to go back. I'm just struggling right now, and I'm kind of working on that. But no, for sure. I just wasn't sure because, you know, I didn't know that I committed grave sins in general and things like that. So I don't know how that works with, like, the confession or anything like that.
Go.
You know?
Well, all of us need to go to confession. The church says at least once a year, even though you haven't killed anybody, robbed any banks, committed adultery or anything, we're imperfect. And like we say at Mass, through my fault, through my most grievous fault, and we confess our sins. A lot of people just maybe have venial sins that are not life-threatening, so to speak, not mortal sins. But it's always bringing away from the church this long, go to confession. Tell him, if nothing else, just tell him, I'm commanded to love the Lord with all my heart, soul, and mind, and I haven't done that. And I want to love him. You know what? I do that every time I go to confession. I start out with that. And I just tell the priest, I know that I'm obligated to love the Lord with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and I don't. And I want to. So I'm going to confess that. And I'm also, maybe you can, I'm impatient with people. Have unclean thoughts or whatever there's in your life that you feel good to get out, that if you had a washcloth, you could wash it and get it away. Tell the priest those things and get a clean conscience. And he'll give you good advice too at that point, especially if you make an appointment and go in and see him. He'll give you good advice, and you'll come out of there feeling really, really good. I'll tell you that.
I'll tell you what we're going to do, Frankie. I'm going to get to your second question, but I just want to say now, before you go, I want to send you the book we have called Why We're Catholic by the aforementioned Trent Horn. It'll help you think through your Catholic faith begin to do that process of catechesis that you've been wanting to do. Now, what is your second question?
Okay, so my dad, you know, he's confined to a wheelchair and has dementia, and so he some years ago, he ended up converting, you know, with pressure from my mom to Pentecostalism, but ironically, he doesn't remember. He was even baptized last year in our living room, and it was all rushed because, you know, because how he has dementia, they mostly did it because, you know, in case. Whatever, I don't know. But the point is, he now doesn't remember, ironically. And he identifies, you know, like strictly as Catholic. And, you know, and so the thing, though, is that my mom doesn't want him to live that life because she doesn't believe he's Catholic anymore. She took that seriously, that conversion seriously. And personally, it didn't seem genuine to me, but then I know that's not my decision, you know. But so I feel like I'm kind of responsible for his lack of Catholic living, so to speak, and I don't know what to do because I can't get him to church without my mom finding out, and it's just like I don't know what to do, you know, like I'm sorry.
Is that your mom?
There's
too
no,
that's your mom.
You don't need to
wife.
Be sorry. I hate to tell you this, we lost Steve's sound again. We okay? All right,
we
sorry
did?
Steve, we lost it, but we got you back. Go ahead.
Okay. So that's your mom, correct? And you're married to your dad.
Well, I have to repeat that, or
no, you, Steve, no, heard no. You. We just couldn't
I
hear
heard
Steve.
You.
Oh,
so
oh, I'm sorry.
At
okay.
That point, you have limited options, I think, because has dementia and he can't really choose for himself, and your mom has, so to speak, legal rights over him and control of him and what he does now. So
yeah.
I would think that you're very limited. I am not a pastor. I mean, I'm not a counselor in that sense. But I would think that when you make the appointment to go in and see the priest for your confession, talk to him about your dad too. And if you can find a way to get your dad in there and have the anointing of the sick from the priest or but you've got a problem with your mom because she has the legal rights over him. And maybe you could talk to her and convince her for your sake. But it's a tough situation with your mom. But I would, when you go to confession, talk to the priest about that and ask what he would recommend. And if you can get your father in there for the sacrament of anointing, that would be great. I don't know how that's going to work with your mom, though. That's tough. But I would certainly bring this to the Lord in prayer and ask him to help you and give you wisdom.
I appreciate that.
And also, let me say this, Frankie. Don't hang up with a big burden on your soul that you've let your dad down. You haven't let your dad down. You're growing up. You're learning. You're experiencing a lot of things, and you're finally coming back, and you're realizing what's true and what's right and what's holy. And you are not in a position to be in charge of your dad anymore, since your mom is. So don't, no matter what happens, don't hang up the phone and think that you have this great burden of guilt that you let your father down. I would say you have not let your father down. Pray for him. Do what you can to help him. But don't go out and feel depressed that you've let your father down.
Frankie, if you hang on, we'll send you a copy. Just give us an address. We'll send you a copy of Why We're Catholic, the most popular book we've ever published here at Catholic Answers by Trent Horn. It's Ask Me Anything for non-Catholics today. We had a couple of little audio problems, but we are back in business. So if you've got a call, give us a call. 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Heading to Nathan in Indiana now, listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Nathan, welcome. You're on the air. Whoop, Nathan, you there with us?
Yes.
Okay, I'm here. There you go. You're on the air. Go ahead with your question for Steve Ray.
Yes, I have a coworker who's Seventh-day Adventist, and they believe that when you die, you don't have the first judgment. You have kind of like a death sleep. And I think, as Catholics, it's really hard to prove theologically that when you die, you have the first judgment. I guess my question is how can I prove that to a Protestant? Because a lot of Protestants use the Bible for arguing that, you know, the first judgment, the resurrection is real.
So he accepts the fact that that after the soul sleeps, so to speak, in death, he'll come back alive then and be judged. Is that correct?
Yeah, in the second judgment. They believe in the second judgment.
Okay. The Jehovah's Witnesses and others believe that same thing. I think you know the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Are you familiar with that? Where the rich man...
Yes.
Is, that's certainly... You know, that certainly is a passage that I think you could bring up with him. And here's a guy who's died, and there's a chasm between him and Abraham, and it doesn't look like that's the end of hell, maybe, or he may be in purgatory or hell there, but he's very much aware of his life after death. Before the big final judgment of Christ comes, he's quite aware of his situation. And so it's certainly he's not soul sleeping there. He's begging for that's in Luke chapter 16, by the way, Luke chapter 16, 19. And when Jesus died, and he did, and he was buried and his soul left his body, we know from Scripture and the catechism, the tradition, that Jesus wasn't just his soul wasn't asleep, but he went down into the underworld, which is called Hades, and he preached to the people who were down there. That's not hell. And that's way before the final judgment at the end of time. But Jesus went down, and you can read this in 1 and 2 Peter. I don't have the verse at the tip of my tongue. I know Tim Staples, he's got the whole Bible memorized. I'm not quite as good at that as he is. But in I think it's in 1 and 2 Peter there, and I can find it for you later, maybe in a break. But it says that Jesus went down, and he preached to these people who had died. And he was telling them that he finished the work of redemption. So this is very much after they died, and Jesus, after he died, and during that time where his body was cold and clammy in the grave, he's very much alive in his soul, going down and talking to the people in Hades, which is called the place of the dead. And they're there kind of like in a holding tank waiting for the redemption so that they can then be taken up into heaven. And that's before the final judgment as well.
Oh, yep. I definitely forgot about those verses, but now that you bring them up, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I'm happy that there's something in the Bible, because I thought for a second it was only tradition.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, no. The whole Bible, there's two. It says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. That judgment comes the minute you die. You're judged as to whether you're going one place or the other. You're not in a soul sleep, and then you're in waiting. And then there comes the big final judgment where all of mankind and the world and nations are brought before God, and everything is made known, and he's judged. And at that point, you're where you're going to spend eternity. But that judgment takes place the moment you die.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you for answering my question.
Just for your benefit and for anybody listening, Catholic.com, the search engine is really good now. So if you would like articles to this, I mean, we've been doing this, and the database is huge. So you can get many articles on, you know, how do you refute the soul sleep argument? Just type that in, and I'm sure many, many will come up. Yep. So if you need a reminder, there's always Catholic.com to help you with that. Thank you very much for the call. The number here is 888-318-7884. And I'm going to tell you something. Because we had a little bit of a technical difficulty, a lot of lines opened up. So we've got plenty of lines. If you're not Catholic and you've got a question, this is an Ask Me Anything with Steve Ray, 888-318-7884. We do have to take a very quick break, so this is a perfect time for you to dial the phone. We'll reset here, and we'll get those calls screened, and we'll have a bunch of questions, I hope, for Steve right after we come back. Ask Me Anything for non-Catholics. I'm always grateful to Catholics who recognize that this is an opportunity for those who might have a curiosity about the faith to make their call. And just wait for another day, 888-318-7884. We hope that one of the things that we communicate here at Catholic Answers Live is that our Catholic faith allows us to be fully serious about all the problems we encounter in the church and in the world. But it also lets us have light hearts and maybe even mix in a bit of fun. And that is exactly what our good friend Joe Heschmeyer does in his popular podcast, Shameless Popery. You should check it out at shamelessjoe.com. Joe's got a deep grasp of the faith, of morals, the teachings of the church, all that, but he's also got a witty conversational style. He entertains and he informs, but you will leave equipped to better answer the most common challenges, misconceptions, and questions about the Catholic faith. He's got insightful guests, he does on-air debates, and he takes a close look into all the things that you want to know about as a Catholic living today. You'll walk away knowledgeable and filled with joy. Look for Joe on his YouTube channel. Check him out at shamelessjoe.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what you hear, become a patron.
Throughout history, some Catholics have been among the worst kind of villains, right? Or were they? In Canceled, historian Steve Weidenkopf digs into the lives and controversies of some of these Catholics whose reputations have been blackened, often unfairly. He takes on the anti-Catholic versions of history and defends not only these figures, but the faith they represent. Order your copy of Canceled today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Each Catholic is obliged to spread and defend the faith by word and deed. Well, we're here to help. Join special guests Chris Stefanik, Dr. David Anders, Steve Dawson, and all your favorite Catholic Answers apologists this September 25th through 28th in beautiful San Diego for the Catholic Answers Conference. Our theme? Go make disciples. Enjoy 4 days of faith, fun, and fellowship. Use promo code EARLY to save $50 when you register today at CatholicAnswersConference.com. Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. Ask Me Anything for non-Catholics today. Both hours. This hour, Steve Ray here with us. Next hour, William Albrecht will be here. And both hours, we're holding the phones for non-Catholics. Lines filled up fast when I said we had open lines. So I am grateful for that. 888-318-7884 is the number. CatholicConvert.com is where you can go to get all the information on Steve Ray. Do a couple more calls, and then I'll ask him about what kind of pilgrimages he's got coming up and what kind of media he's going to be doing and all that kind of stuff. But we better get a few of these calls processed first. Let's go to John in Alexandria, listening on 1160 AM. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Really well. Thank you.
I have a quick question. I know at the time of judgment, when you're standing in front of the Father, it's basically when you're told ready to go to heaven, hell, or purgatory. If the apostolic pardon is administered by a priest, is that an automatic save?
Automatic save? Okay, Steve?
It's like no, I'm just asking because it's something.
I just like the way you phrase it.
Is that a bypass?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, that's good. I like it. Are you getting a bypass there if you get the apostolic pardon, Steve?
I'm staying on the straight and narrow, you know. But, you know, other than not, you know, I have my priest at our parish gave me access after hours to go in, and I go in and sit.
Oh.
And I got a lot going on with my son's health and his cancer, so and they're working full time. So.
Oh, God bless you, John. Well, Steve, what happens with the apostolic pardon?
Well, if someone is able to go to confession, they need to go to confession. An apostolic pardon is given for something very serious, I know, very serious sins, and that sometimes it's only reserved to the Pope. I think if someone, the issues of abortion and so on, or a priest, let's say this, if a priest himself discloses what happens in a confessional, he needs to have the Pope has to forgive him for that, and that's an apostolic pardon. But anybody who sins can just go to the priest and be absolved of their sins.
Well, okay, I think he's referring to last rites and the inclusion of the apostolic pardon in the last rites. So
if someone dies, you know, this is a very interesting thing because people say that men can't forgive sins, and this is an argument about confession that man can't forgive sins. But in James, where that passage comes from about the anointing of the sick or the last rites at the end of death, it says that if anyone is sick, call the priest and have him anointed with oil. And if he has committed any sins, they will be forgiven him. That's a promise. And that's even if the guy's been in a car accident, he's unconscious on the road and he's going to die. It's still there's a promise that if they anoint him with oil, his sins will be forgiven him. That's a priest interceding for this man, and his sins will be forgiven him even if he's unconscious at the moment of his death. So I'm not an expert on apostolic pardons, but I do know that when we get last rites, that is the time if we're awake and conscious, we confess our sins and we receive that forgiveness. If we're unconscious, the scriptures promise that it'll apply as well, the forgiveness of sins.
Does that help you, John?
It does very much. I appreciate it, guys.
Yeah, thank you. It does seem to me that the Lord has provided us for us in every way, that he really doesn't want us to suffer.
He
wants us to come quickly to him. And so you have these, there, like you can make a confession, you can have your sins forgiven, you can, but if you're in extremis and you can't do that, but your will is set on you want the forgiveness of God, he'll just give it to you. He'll give it to you through the ministry of the priest.
And that's what the beauty of the sacraments are. Confession, we confess our sins and they're forgiven through the agency of the priest who's in persona Christi. And it's just, the promise is the same at the end of our life. This is why on my on my keys and everywhere, it says at the last moment, you know, my phone number, if I have any allergies, call my wife, Janet. And then at the bottom, it says, call a priest.
Yeah, right.
If I'm in a dire situation, I want the priest there. And if I can only, you know, blood's gurgling in my throat and I can't speak, I want him to know to absolve me of my sins at the last moment.
Beautiful.
Before I die.
Yeah.
This is the beauty of the sacraments. Now, one quick thing. I had said to the first caller about soul sleep. It's 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 through 20. 1 Peter 3, 18 through 20. It says that being put to death in the flesh, made alive in the spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, the ones that were, had died. Jesus was very much alive and his body was dead. And he went down and he talked to all the others who had died and who were very much alive. They weren't soul sleeping. So that's 1 Peter 3:18.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, John, for the call and for the question. We're going up to Canada now, where Ben is watching on Twitch. Ben, so happy to have your call. Go ahead with your question for Steve Ray.
Hey, I was just wondering if Catholic schools are expected to uphold and teach Catholic doctrine and values.
That's a good question, Ben.
We'd like to know that too, Ben.
The expectation is that they do. The desire is that they should. Unfortunately, a lot of Catholic schools don't. So you can't assume that if you're going to put your kids in a Catholic school, whether it's elementary, high school, or college, that they're going to get a good Catholic education, because they may not. And unfortunately, that's the case today. So no matter where a parent sends their students, they have to oversee the education they're getting, because bottom line is you and I are held accountable to God for the education of our children. We are the primary educators of our children. And unfortunately, too many people think as long as my kids go to a Catholic school, they're going to get a good Catholic education. And they may get exactly the opposite of that, unfortunately.
Ben, what was the nature? Did something happen that brought this up for you? Or where did the question come from?
No, I'm just curious about Catholic schools in Canada flying the Pride flag during Pride Month, or Pride Month, whatever it is.
Yeah. I have to admit, we're curious about that too, Ben. It's a big church. It's a big world. A lot of stuff happens. I do not know the meaning of that.
And I guess my other question was, this is treated differently because it's an institute or a school opposed to individuals who attend Catholic parishioners? It's a whole different...
Okay.
I don't even know if anything would be in the Vatican or Catechism about the new issues that are arising.
So I'm not sure I followed you. Are you talking about dealing with an individual person dealing with same-sex attraction as opposed to?
No, okay. I'm just talking about schools with the flag. That's it. Simple as that.
The schools with the flag. I mean, the person who has the authority to do something about that is either who's ever in charge of that school or the bishop. I suppose if it's a parish school, the pastor of the parish as well. And it would be great if they all made great decisions, but we are a flawed people and we don't all make great decisions. But that seems inconsistent to me. But I don't know. Steve, did you want to add anything to that?
No, it's unfortunate, but the Catholic schools, just like some parishes, have been very influenced by by the world. And promoting LGBT or things like that, and I know some are, though it's unfortunate, and there's no guarantee that a Catholic school is going to be teaching the Catholic truth. Parents have to make sure they are, and if they're not, then they confront the school, inform the bishop, and if that's not changed, then I'd pull the kids out of that school. Because, you know, sometimes in the Catholic school, it's harder to discern what's right and wrong. If you're sometimes in a public school, it's easier to discern what's right or wrong. Because you don't have the assumption that they're teaching Catholic things. But if Catholic schools are teaching improperly and they're teaching worldly things and contrary to what we know is true, then we shouldn't have our kids in there, and we certainly shouldn't be paying for them. It's a sad state of affairs in some places. So.
Okay, Ben.
Appreciate it.
God bless you, Ben. Thank you very much. Thank you for the call. The number here is 888-318-7884. And it is an Ask Me Anything hour, this hour and next hour, for those who are not Catholic. If you are not Catholic, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. Going to Lincoln, Nebraska now, where Tyler is listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Tyler, welcome. You have a question for Steve Ray?
Yes, I'm non-Catholic, and I have been a Protestant for all my life. And I would say in the past few years, I've really been struggling with the theology of Calvinism. And I attend a Reformed church, and I guess I was wondering what, like, the Catholic answer to Calvinism is. And particularly, I think the things I really struggle with is limited atonement and total depravity. And just kind of trying to wrap my mind around those. And I'm just trying to see what the Catholic perspective on that stuff is.
Well, I think there's a reason that you're struggling with those, and it's because they're to be struggled with. Those two especially are, I think you have to cut verses out of the Bible if you want to believe those two things. Jesus said, let's just start with total depravity. We have sinned. The Calvinists say that you are totally depraved. There's nothing good in you, and until you have redemption in Christ. But that's not, the scriptures don't actually say that, because you find guys like Job. It said in Job that he was righteous. He had avoided sin. This was God's opinion of Job. Look in the first few verses of Job and see what God says about Job. He doesn't say that he's totally depraved. The New Testament doesn't give us that impression. The impression is, yes, that we have sinned and we've fallen short of the glory of God, but we still are made in the image of God and we still have the goodness of that image in us, though it is marred. I like the way C.S. Lewis puts it, is that we're bent. We're supposed to be straight, but we're bent, but we're still here. We're still there and just need to get that fixed. And that's what Jesus came to do. And the whole idea that limited atonement, that basically means that Jesus only died for some people and the rest he created for damnation. Now, I frankly, Tyler, I couldn't serve a God who I knew had created some people who are destined for damnation for eternity, and others he said, well, you know what, I'm gonna create this guy and give him heaven, but I'm gonna create this guy with the intent of sending him to hell. That's pretty much what the limited atonement means, that Jesus only came to die for certain people and it's predestined. You know, the way I see this, Tyler, is that when Jesus, a couple places in the scriptures, it says whosoever will may come, and that Jesus desires all to come to repentance, all to come to salvation. It's not like just the ones that he died for. He wants all people to be saved, and he came to save them. And his Holy Spirit is wooing them to bring them to that place where they'll accept that salvation. All of us, not just a few that God has chosen. And when you come up to the gates of heaven, I imagine it saying, whosoever will may come, and you get back and you look at the other side. Once you get through and look, it says, and it's going to say, those who are chosen from the foundations of the world that God has chosen. He's chosen all of us to be there, but many of us have rejected him, not because we're totally depraved, but because we have sinned and we have the sin nature, and that sin nature draws us away from God. It pulls us away from God. But if we just look at people do good things, how can people do good things if they're totally depraved? Even non-Christians are able to do good things, to love people, to do acts of generosity and kindness and charity. People who are totally depraved don't do those kind of things. So we're not totally depraved, and God didn't create some of us for damnation and some of us for eternal salvation. So the reason you're questioning those two is because they need to be questioned, because they're heresy.
Does that help you, Tyler?
That was very good. Thank you. Yeah.
Sorry. Okay. All right, very, very good, Tyler. I'm glad that was helpful to you. It might be that you would be interested in a book we have called "The Drama of Salvation" by Jimmy Akin, where he goes into these things. And if you'd like a copy of it, and you hang on the line, we can now send to Nebraska. So we'd be happy to send that to you, "The Drama of Salvation," because Jimmy considers in the book. What does the Catholic Church say about salvation? And it helps to see that teaching. In other words, it's easy to spot the counterfeit if you know what the real thing looks like. And the real teaching of the Catholic Church on salvation is quite beautiful. And so I think it'll be helpful to you if you'd like it. Just hang on the line. If you do, we have to take a quick break. Right back with more Ask Me Anything for non-Catholics on Catholic Answers Live.
Hang on. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
The Catechism defines evangelization as the proclamation of Christ and his gospel by word and the testimony of life. But what does that look like in real life? It looks like St. Paul street evangelists out in the public square sharing the good news. We're a Catholic nonprofit that starts conversations by handing out free sacramentals. Then we employ our method of listen, befriend, proclaim, and invite. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. Visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
Pope Francis tells us, becoming a priest or a man or woman religious is not primarily our own decision. Rather, it's the response to a call of love. Do you feel as if God may be calling you to religious life? If so, contact a religious order faithful to the magisterium or your diocesan vocation. For information on the priesthood or religious life, visit ewtn.com/religious life today.
Ask Me Anything for non-Catholics today on Catholic Answers Live. If you are a non-Catholic, the Catholics are holding back and leaving the phone lines open for you. 888-318-7884. We love to talk about the Christian faith. We love to talk about Jesus and the Bible and the moral life and all of that. And we'll talk about it with anybody. So you should not feel that, maybe they want to talk to somebody else, not talk to me. Whatever your question, whatever your challenge, whatever your struggle might be, if you'd like to ask a question about the Catholic faith, today is your day. 888-318-7884. Don is in Alexandria, Virginia, listening on 103.1 FM. I'll get it right, Don. Welcome, Don. You got a question for Steve Ray?
Hello, Don.
Hello, Steve. I turned the radio on in the truck about four callers ago, and you were responding about to a caller's question about the Church of Latter-day Saints, and I came in right into your response, and you were mentioning the that group, that faith, believes in a second judgment. And
it was the Seventh-day Adventists, if I'm correct. It wasn't the Adventist. Latter-day Saints or Mormons.
Okay. All right. I stand corrected. I'm sorry. And so I got the takeaway from that is what they believe, and that is not what Catholics believe. And then there was the next caller, and he was talking, he was asking about a good question, and you responded that when you die, you're referring to Abraham and so forth, and you said that when you die, you're immediately judged. You're going to heaven, hell, or purgatory. And
so
then
let's not do a review of the whole show.
Go
ahead and
is.
Ask him a question. We'll be happy to get you an answer. What's the question, Don?
Well, my question is then Steve responded that
I'm really sorry to interrupt you, but do you have a question? Because I just said I don't want to do a review of the whole show, and now you're going back to what Steve said. What is the question for Steve, please, Don?
The question is that he mentioned we'll get to heaven. I mean, we'll stand before the Father, and it seems like that I don't have a handle on it. That it's not
Let me summarize what I said. What I said is that when we die, we immediately are judged. It's called the immediate judgment. We know whether we're going to heaven or hell at that point. And that is the moment when the curtain falls. We know at that point whether we go to heaven or hell. It's the immediate judgment. There's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. However, at the end of time, there is the general judgment. This is the final judgment. And that point is where God judges the world. Every one of us will be told why we have this happen. Everything will be revealed. Nations will be judged. God will judge us and nations. And that is the final judgment. Now, when I talked to the Seventh-day Adventist, I did not deny that they also agree that there's going to be a final judgment. Where we disagree is they said that when people die, they go into a soul sleep until the final judgment at the end. Catholics, we know differently than that there is a judgment, and we are not in soul sleep after that. We're very much aware of things, and then we'll also be part of the final judgment as well.
Thank you for that. And I wasn't challenging your response. I was just trying to get a better grip on it, because it struck me initially that there are two judgments.
Yes, there are.
That is correct, Don. I see where you're going.
When you die, Don, you will stand before God the moment you die, and you know what your destiny is at that point. But then at the end of time, when all of the world comes to an end, when Jesus, a great judgment, the book of Revelation, when the white horse comes galloping in and it's the end of time and all the books are opened and everybody is brought before God, there's a final judgment of the world. And that all, both of us will experience both of those judgments.
Don, thank you. I do have full lines again, so I'm going to keep going. Thank you very much for the call. If you would like our big book of Catholic answers, I'd be happy to send it to you. Hundreds of questions and the answers in the book. We're very proud of that book, and I'd love to send it off, Don, the big book of Catholic answers. I'm going now to Alaska. Amber, watching on YouTube. Am I correct about that, Amber? Are you up in Alaska?
I am indeed, yes.
Oh, how's the snow?
Wow.
it's not usually snowy in the middle of July, though. We still have it on the mountains.
I guess maybe my image of Alaska is skewed. I thought perhaps you were always under snow. I'm glad
where I am anyway.
I'm glad to hear it. You got a question for Steve, Amber?
I do. So I am not a Catholic, but I have been exploring my faith and things a lot over the last few years. And there are a lot of things that I feel are pulling me in the direction of converting. My husband is a very staunch determinist Calvinist. And I heard Steve talking a bit about his thoughts on that previously. So we used to have really engaging theological discussions, and lately, whenever I don't agree with a perspective, it's causing a lot of tension. And so I'm just kind of wondering, how do I, as a wife who wants to be in harmony with her husband, how do I explore where I feel God is calling me without it destroying my marriage? And then how do I also, if I do end up deciding that that Catholicism is the way I should go, how do I navigate raising our son with a husband who does not want his son raised Catholic?
Okay.
Steve? Well, let's say, Amber, I know time is short, so I'm going to say you're in a tough predicament. You're not the only one. I was with a lady at a conference, and she had all of her kids. She had about 10 kids, and her husband had left her because she had become Catholic and brought the kids in with her. It's not something that is unusual. However, the goal is always to work within the family and to get the husband to understand, even if you just love him and you ask him questions and ask him if he would please help you discuss these things because you're interested in this, and love him more than ever before. Here in Catholic Answers magazine, I wrote an article a while ago, and it's called Six Rules for Dealing with Non-Catholic Family and Friends. Okay, this article would be really, really good for you. And just go to Catholic Answers Magazine and type in six rules. And if you can't find it, get in touch with me and I'll make sure you get it. But it is on their magazine. And the number one is that you love them more than you ever loved them before. And you don't argue with them. You discuss with them, but you don't argue to the point of causing division. And you work towards reconciliation and loving and understanding and praying for this person. And you do have an obligation to the truth. And if God is leading you like he did me, that the Catholic Church is true, there's no turning back once you get to that point. And Jesus says in the Gospels that it was usually in those days, it was a Jewish person who found Jesus as the Messiah and said that there was a separation between husband and wife and daughters and daughter-in-laws, and it brings division sometimes. And when you come to a knowledge of the truth, like my dad told me, is that you have an obligation to follow the truth even if it hurts. Now, how do you follow that truth? That's going to be up to you. And I think the article I wrote will help you navigate through that. But don't give up. And love your husband to death. I mean, love the guy in. And you wouldn't be the first one that found the church and the husband came along after you. So don't think that that's impossible. So just pray, trust to God, read that article, Six Rules. Can't find it, get in touch with me. And God bless you in your efforts.
Thank you.
Yeah. Was there anything we can give you or send you to help you in your discerning of the Catholic faith?
I will be honest. What I most would love is a prayer guide for like a daily prayer habit for just discerning and the biggest stumbling block, or the, I don't know about stumbling block, but the biggest hurdle for me that I'm seeing right now is just trusting in the authority of the Pope and the Magisterium.
Oh, yeah.
And I think everything else falls into place after that.
Yep.
Yeah, certainly, certainly. Okay, so I'll tell you what. So hang on the line. I got to think about a daily prayer guide. Just give me a minute to think about it, and we'll see what we can send out to you. And then if you give an address to Siobhan, and we'll make sure we get it to you. But we can help with the Pope stuff as well. Call back, and we'll talk about it some more.
I've got a book on the Pope.
What's your book?
Upon This Rock.
Upon This Rock.
Upon This Rock, the primacy of Peter in the Scripture and in the early church. And you guys sell it in your store.
Yeah, go to shop.catholic.com. It's there. Let me think about a daily prayer guide. Darren will help me. He's always smart about these things. We're going to do another hour of Ask Me Anything for non-Catholics. Right back with more on Catholic Answers Live.